Awesome. We are so continuing through the sermon series, A Summertime Climb, where we are going through the Psalms of a Saint, going from Psalm 120 to 134. And this morning on a standstill at Psalm 126. And I want to read to us, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negeb. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed of sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing the sheaves with him. And we see the psalm reflecting on what God has done and his goodness. And because we can reflect on what God has done, we can have hope looking forward to, if God has done it, he will surely do it again. And this is what the psalm is speaking about this morning. I'm hearing a slight echo. I'm not sure why that is, but I'm just going to continue and let the desk do that for us. So there were three feasts that required Jewish males to make pilgrimage to Jerusalem throughout the year. One of which is Passover, where they celebrated or to commemorated what God has done for Israel in bringing Israel out of Egypt. And one significant thing about that is they had to smear lamb's blood on the doorposts so that God would pass them over from the judgment he brought on Egypt. The other one is the 50 days after Feast of Weeks is Pentecost, or Feast of the Harvest. Is another name for the Feast of Weeks. And then the third journey that they had to make to Jerusalem was for the Feast of Booths. And all of these share significance in reflecting back. It is these ceremonial celebrations looking back to what God has done. And then they would make pilgrimages to Jerusalem to commemorate what God has done. And on that journey, they would read and sing these psalms of a saint. Well, not read. They would sing these psalms of a saint, reflecting back on what God has done. The good news is, because of Jesus, and he died and he rose again, we find the fulfillment of these feasts in Jesus. So I just want to go over that and then get into the psalm. And that to Passover is fulfilled in Jesus, because he became the Passover lamb, where he took the sins of the world on himself and he died in our place so that we can have life. And that's just amazing. The second one is the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Harvest, finds its fulfillment in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, where the harvest is now souls, one for Christ. Then the other one, the Feast of Booths, has another name, Feast of Tabernacles. That looks back on the 40-year journey of Israel through the wilderness, and that finds its fulfillment in Christ, because Christ tabernacled with us. That God became flesh. In another sense, it finds its fulfillment in that as Israel wandered through the wilderness, going to their promised land, we wander through this world with our end destination, the new heaven and new earth, when we have eternal dwelling with God. So they have those three. Next week, we'll look at the other four. But while on holiday, so I want to open up with a story. Still have a mic. So we were on holiday. And we had amazing weather, except for the one day, it was a bit cold. So we said to Nathan, okay, when it's dark, we will go to the warm swimming pool and we will go swim there. And he was so excited and we went there. And while we were swimming, it started drizzling a little bit. And like, okay, it's fine. And then we heard thunder and lightning. And it's like, okay, well, I know from growing up, if there's thunder, you get out of the water. although the swimming pool was indoors, we went out and it just started raining more. And next to the swimming pool, there was a restaurant. So we decided, okay, well, we're going to go to the restaurant, have a milkshake, and then the rain should subside because it just seemed like it's drizzling a little bit. And the volume is very intense. I mean, yeah, that's good, I think. I don't know. Anyway, let's continue. So we went to the restaurant, ordered 3 milkshakes. They were about to close. It was after 8 in the evening. It was holiday, so I mean. And then there was like a cloud break or something, but it poured and it thundered and it rained like I've not seen in a long time. And then the power went out. So we are in this restaurant. It's just us there. So the power is out. Nathan is afraid because it's dark. We switch on our phone. Well, I don't have my phone with me, so I used my watch flashlight to just get light for us. And then someone brought a flashlight and it was dark. And it's like, it's just raining. And we were sitting there like, we need to get home. And I'm not going to walk through this rain. But the longer it rained, the more we realized that this is going to be a reality. And I don't like getting wet while running to a destination because it's not nice. I don't know if you like it. I don't like it. I just don't like it. I don't want to get wet while I'm running. And it was pouring. And eventually, the power comes back on. And we're like, okay, at least there's light. Let's just wait it out. And a few minutes, which felt like an hour later, the power goes out again. And it's not stopping raining. And we just make peace with the situation we are in. Okay, this is just how life is going to be. We're going to have to run about 3Ks in the rain and just get to the other side. There's no other option. The lights are out. It doesn't seem that the rain's going to stop. And it was really pouring. It was like a cloud break. It was like heavy rain in a short span. So I have Nathan on my back. And I threw a towel over him and over my head. And I'm like running like this. And we're like running through pools of water on flat ground. That's how much it rained in that short space. And it's just pouring. It's dark. And we just run. Well, as best we could. And at one point at the halfway mark, now I'm realizing that this is just where we are. So I said to Nathan, he can run and I will race him. Just as a way to get there soon. And he's enjoying the race. And halfway through, lights come on. And as the lights come on, the rain subsides a little bit. Like it was drizzling, but at least it was not this heavy rain anymore. And he runs out in front and he's just like, praise the Lord, when it stopped raining and the lights come on. And I'm like, how amazing is this that he, at this young age, his response is that of worship. Because for him, this is God doing something amazing, because we're not enjoying this journey. He's not well, he's enjoying it, of course. But the moment everything just comes together, he's like, praise the Lord. Praise the Lordy. And he's like, God is so good for us. And he's singing that song as best he can remember it. And in that moment, I just realized he is busy with the song of a saint in his heart, because he's singing worship to God because of something that is happening, that through this journey, it's not nice, it's not enjoyable, none of us are having a good time, but he's having the best time. And in his heart, in what he speaks, it was evident where his focus was. It's like, oh God, thank you for this. And he just had the best time. And I realized that he is in a song of a saint, and we don't make pilgrimages to Jerusalem anymore, because we have a daily pilgrimage into the presence of the Lord, which is the most important part of your day, is to spend time in the presence of the Lord. Is to, in a place of your day, get to a place where you press into the presence of the Lord and say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need your presence over my life. That whatever we go through, good or bad, our response is, praise the Lord. When it becomes evident that God is with us in the storm, in this not great situation. And this is what the psalm is about, because he's saying that when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, it's reflecting back on what the Lord has done. Because we've seen so many times in our life the Lord coming through for us in so many different ways, and somehow the life we live rubs off on a four-year-old to express praise the Lord. And that's not me or my wife or anything. That's just the grace of God, because that's a life we want to live. Some days we fail horribly, and some days it's just abundant grace and abundant mercy, because God is with us through everything. And we reflect back on when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Have you ever had a dream like we were just dreaming, like, this is impossible, I can never see this for myself? And a few years later, you find yourself in that space that you dreamed for yourself, like having kids or having a good salary or just being free from that one thing. And you just have this dream and it's being realized through God being there with you and restoring you. It is that reflecting back. And then it goes on to the second verse. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said, those around you, they say, those around Israel, they say, then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for them. Now, this might be a post-exilic psalm, meaning there was a time when Israel and Judah terribly turned away from the Lord, and eventually they found themselves in exile in Babylon and to Persia. But there came a time in the day of Ezra and Nehemiah where they were sent back to go and rebuild the temple, so that they can once again make pilgrimage back to the house of the Lord and go make sacrifices and have that with them. That maybe the nation saw what the Lord has done for them, and they gave shouts of joy, because look at what God has done in their life. Look at what God has done in your life. Look at what God has done in your life and in your life. And look at what God is continuing to do. That as much as you are on that individual journey with God, and just you and God, and you're in that space, it's rubbing off on those around you, and they see and they begin to glorify the Lord. I think one of the most significant days or things in my life that I just realized that it was as if the God's grace just hovered in the room is I grew up very difficult, very troubled. I was that kid that your parents warned you about, maybe don't be friends with that guy. I had the nickname the Instigator. I don't know how I got the nickname, but it seemed fitting at the time, because I was always in front of the row when there's trouble and something's happening. I'm always somehow there, and then they think it's me. So I was that guy that your parents warned you about, don't be friends with him. And the way I grew up and the things that I decided in my heart will never be for me, but the Lord has done great things. And one of those things is that I never thought I would be a dad. I just didn't envision myself that would be for me. And then one morning we were having breakfast after not seeing my brother for 7 years. In those 7 years, I got married, got Nathan, and we're sitting having breakfast. And he just said, that he is so surprised at how well I'm doing this. And I'm just like, it's not me. It's only God. There's no way that I can be who I am if it was not for God and his work in my life and what he's done in me and changing me. And I'm not speaking about myself to be the hero. I'm just saying that God is busy in the same way in every person's life. And everyone that I'm seeing in front of me, I know God is busy working in your life. And someone is seeing the miracle and the change that God is bringing in your life. And there will be a day when they say, you know what, Tony? I used to know you when you were like this, but now just look at what God has done. Just look at the amazing things God has done in your life. And it is just all the glory to God, because we see him working in the background, that sometimes we don't realize what God is busy doing in our hearts until one day you just stop and reflect back and like, what? Oh, okay. And from that comes the following verse, verse 4, is a shout to God saying, restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the streams in the Negev. And we can call on God's restoration in our lives and in our situations that we are facing because we have seen what He has done in our lives already. Maybe you have not seen God move in your own life yet, but you've seen Him move in someone's life, as Hebrews tells us, that look at the faith of those around you to inspire your faith and encourage your walk with God. Look at those around you. That if you don't have your own journey, that you can say, I've seen God do this in my life yet, or maybe you don't see it. Look at what God has done in someone else's life and let that speak to you and say, well, if the Lord can do it for them, surely He can do it for me, because God does not have favorites. He loves us all the same. He sent His Son for all of us, even for your enemies and your in-laws. I'm blessed with great in-laws, for the record. That was a thank you, Ardis. Anyway, I will get to that. I will come back to this later. But here's the thing that the psalmist is saying. He's saying, those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. I don't know if there's been a time in your life where you were just bawling and just had the sorrow and the sadness over you for whatever the reason is, and then God intervened and you rejoiced with shouts of joy. He says, he who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, that you are going out and you're sowing and you're going out in life and you're going to do that thing and living life, whatever it is you have to face. Maybe you're in a place where you just don't like the place where you work and you have to drive an hour to get there in the first place, and you're like, you're getting in your car and you're just having this weeping, but you're bearing the seed of sowing because you have to go to work. I mean, otherwise there's no pay at the end of the month, and then what do we do? Like, sometimes you have to face the difficult situations and accept the fact that, you know what, I'm going to go out weeping with my seeds for sowing because I need to get stuff done. I need to live life. I need to go meet that person. I need to go do and live life, even when I'm weeping on the inside. And here's the promise. It's saying that he who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing sheaves with him, bringing the fruit with him, because God is busy working. He is the one that turns mourning into dancing. In Psalm 30 verse 11, I don't know if I have it up there, but David just expressed at one point in his life, he said, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. That there was a time when David was mourning because of his own sinfulness, because of his own sorrow, because of the own destructive nature of his family in his life. And he says, but you have moved me from my mourning into dancing. May the Lord turn that thing that is grieving you, that is causing you to weep on the inside, may the Lord turn that for you into dancing. And David says, you have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. Sackcloth was what you put on yourself when you were in mourning. You would dress yourself in sackcloth because that harsh texture just reminds you of the mourning and the weeping that you're going through. And he's saying, but God, you remove that and you clothe with gladness. May the Lord turn your mourning into dancing. May He turn what you sow in tears, that you reap it with shouts of joy with whatever you're going through. Because it is not over until it's over. Nehemiah 8 verse 10 says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. That there is strength when we have joy in the Lord, because joy means God has done something in you. The burden has been lifted and you have finally been able to just have that fresh air, as if you walk into this fresh air and it's your first time breathing that fresh air, just that joy, that fulfilling feeling that comes in because God has been busy working. There was a woman in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, who had a moment in her life where she was a widow and she was at her son's funeral. And Jesus showed up. And it reads, soon after he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep, because she was weeping. She was mourning the loss of her only other person in the family that died. And Jesus, do not weep. And he came up and he touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people. Whatever it is that is causing you mourning, when Jesus enters into the situation, mourning turns into dancing. Tears of weeping turns into shouts of joy. We as a family, as you know, end of last year, we had a terrible loss. And we experienced, in the midst of the mourning, in the midst of the crying, in the midst of the tears and the disappointment and the everything that just filled the room. But with that came the joy of the Lord that carried us through. And we could experience the newness of life. And just God being with us, as it says at the end of that, what we read, because God was with the people. Just that last verse of Luke 7. God has visited his people, that we experience as a family, that God has visited us in our house while we were there, while we were going through everything. And our mourning was turned into joy. Because God has done an incredible thing, and he came in and he brings life. And I just want to encourage you with that this morning, that whatever you face, may the Lord turn your weeping into shouts of joy, because he has done it and he will do it again and he will continue to do it, because that is who he is. Because he loves you and he cares for you and he leaves the 99 for the one. Every time, until we are all reconciled back to him. God does not give up on us. He does not let us go. There's no problem too small or too big that God will look at you and say, well, this small thing. We're experiencing this in Nathan's life as well. It's just amazing to be like a third person in a house sometimes. And when he's looking for something, one morning for church, Moody's attends because we need to leave. We need to be on time. And I was looking for my glasses, and Nathan says, Jesus, please help us find my dad's glasses. And there's my glasses. It's just, there's nothing too small or too great for the Lord, that if he cares for something so small as just finding my glasses in time so that we are not late, and raising a widow's only son, how much more can he do for you? Because he's the one that changes everything. And this Psalm 126, it is all about Jesus. In the first few verses, we see that the ultimate deliverance is Jesus setting people free from slavery, sin, and spiritual captivity. And I'm praying this morning that as I speak, that you experience that newness of life and that freedom that comes with Him. Because when He enters, things change. And then we see the sowing in tears. Jesus' death on the cross was the ultimate highlight of all of history, His death and resurrection. But His death came with fear and weeping, where loved ones, what's going on? We've been following Jesus for so long and we've believed that He's the Son of God, and now He's on the cross, now He's dying, and now He's buried. Sowing with weeping, and His resurrection is reaping the shouts of joy, because now that Jesus is raised from the dead, there is victory over sin that brings death, and that we know that when we believe in Jesus, there is new life. And may you experience that new life in you this morning. That verse 4, it says, "Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams of the Negev." This streams came from the south, and it is this imagery of this powerful, sudden act of God bringing life to dry land. And that is the Holy Spirit coming and transforming dry hearts and bringing new life. That if you feel a bit stuck, if you feel a bit dry, if you feel a bit dead inside, you need some Holy Spirit in you. Maybe you've experienced the Holy Spirit so many times, and I can tell you that there is an unlimited supply of the Holy Spirit for you. All we have to do is, like Jesus says, ask. Jesus said, "You men who are wicked know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" We all have access to the Holy Spirit. And I want to end with Hebrews chapter 4. As the Psalm 126 point to Jesus, we read in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." There is an unending supply of His grace and His mercy and His presence. And He is calling you into His presence. That every day is a pilgrimage into the presence of the Lord. And I want to encourage you to do not live life without the presence of the Holy Spirit and an awareness that God is in the midst of everything, from the finest detail to the worst pain you can imagine that life brings. He is there every single moment. But sometimes what hinders us from entering the presence of the Lord is an unrepentant heart. It is a knowing that I am a sinner, that there's stuff in my life that's maybe not great, and I feel because of that disqualifies me. That is a lie that the enemy uses to draw you away from God, because what can separate us from the love of God? There is nothing. There's nothing. And if you are feeling this morning that I need the presence of the Lord in my life, and I need him. I need to be aware of him because he's there. He's always there. Sometimes we're just not aware that he's there. I want to lead you into a prayer and then I'll close for us. That in your heart, you don't have to pray it out loud, but in your heart, just pray the following. Lord, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I pray that you forgive me for my sin. Forgive me of the sin that I know I have and the sin that I've forgotten that I've done. Thank you for your grace and your mercy over my life. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Lord, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your freedom. And now that I am made clean, I pray that your presence come over me. I think one of the most amazing things about God is how personal he is, how loving and caring his nature is, that he works with every person in a unique way because he knows you the best. There's no one that knows you better than God, and he knows how to work with you. He knows how to lead you. He knows how to guide you. And I pray this morning that you open up to him intervening into your life and come in doing an amazing thing. May the streams from the south, the Holy Spirit, come and breathe new life into you. That you experience the newness, that you experience the joy, that whatever you've been sowing, may you reap with shouts of joy this morning. May the joy of the Lord be released over your life, that you experience him in a way you've never experienced him. That when you open up the Word of God, it's as if it's like, I've read this before, but now I'm hearing it with my heart and my mind and my soul. That God, you are speaking to me. Father, I thank you for this morning. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you come and continue to minister to every person, that you speak and that you move among us because you are living and you are active. Busy working and interceding and intervening in our lives. May you continue to bring growth. Amen and amen. I bless you. In the name of Jesus, may it be well with your soul and may it be well with your health. And may there be abundant opportunities to press into the presence of the Lord. That even when you are busy, in the most busiest time of your day, that you are in your mind and in your heart aware of that God is with you. Amen and amen.